Amen. Well, many times the scripture compares the life of a believer to a race. The last Sunday of 2020, I shared a message called Get Back in the Race. Galatians 5:7 says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" The Galatians were running well, but something or somebody had hindered them. You know what? There's so many believers today that are not really living out the plan and the purpose of God in their life. Some because of hurts, some because of disappointments, some because of failures or mistakes, and some that, and maybe more than any other thing, they just drifted away from the things of God and all that God had for them. But for whatever reason, they're not really living in all God has for them. Something has hindered them, and they just need to get back into the race and make a new commitment to serve God with all their heart, no matter what happens, and no matter what happened in the past. But today we're going to talk about running well. You know, Wednesday night, people come after work, and I know a lot of you are tired, and now the pastor's going to talk about running. And that's just, but I hope that you understand. We're not talking about your physical body, but we're talking about running well in the race, in the life, the purpose that God has called us to, every single one of us. So we're going to go to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and let me remind you, that cloud of witnesses is all those heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." There is a race that is set before you. You might not realize it. You might have been unaware. But there's a race, a purpose, you see, for your life. You see, it's not just those that are called to full-time ministry. It's not just for those that have a certain personality or certain talents and gifts. It's all of us, every single one of us, matter in the plan and purpose of God. There's not one of you that is not important to God. And you need to know that. The NIV says the race marked out for us. And you know, that just tells me that we're not all running the same race. No, each and every one of us. God has a plan for your life personally. It reminds me of the prophet Jeremiah and how the Lord told him that he knew him before he was formed in the womb. And you know, that's true about every one of us. He knows all things. He knows the beginning and the end. And you just need to understand that you were thought of in the plan of God, that he has a race for you to run. And you know what? We just miss it all together if we don't realize that God has a purpose for our life. We end up not running that race, just kind of living out our days. And what a waste that is. No, running well is about running the race that's marked out for us and fulfilling the plan of God in a way that glorifies God. You know, in the Olympics, when one of our athletes competes, we have a sense of pride, and I hope I'm using that in a way that's acceptable to the Lord. We call it pride, but it's really, I hope it's not arrogance on our part, but it's really about us being pleased, you know. And here's what I want you to understand, though. When they do well, you see, we're so pleased and we're excited about that because they represent us. And here's the thing, though. When one of them does something foolish that exhibits a lack of character, we all feel the shame of that because they represent us. How much more should we desire to run our race in a way that glorifies God? Because we truly do represent Him in this world. We are, as Paul said, ambassadors for Christ. We are His representatives in this world. And I want to say it matters how you run as a parent. Oh, yes, it does. It matters how you run as a spouse. It matters how you run as a business owner. It matters how you run as an employee. It matters how you run in whatever area or areas of ministry that you're involved in. It matters how you run. We got to know. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And you know what? That includes every part of our life. It can't just be that, well, this area over here, you know, this is the God part of my life, you know. No, it's every part of our life is affected, infected with this, that we want to fulfill His purpose and please Him. We want to bring glory to Him in everything that we do. And you know what? That's really the only way to live. It can't be, well, we're just living out our days. Another day, another dollar. Listen, that's the attitude of a lot of people. They may not say it that way, but that's kind of their attitude. And I want to tell you, that is not the abundant life that Jesus talked about. No, it's got to be about something more than another day, another dollar. See, when we really understand that God has purpose for us, it gives meaning to every part of our life. And that's the very best kind of life. So don't settle for something that's less. We want to live in such a way that we can say, as the Lord Jesus did in John 17:4, He says, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. You see, He brought glory to His Father, and He finished all that He had given Him to do. That's the goal, to glorify God and to finish what He's given us to do. That's our finish line, is to finish what He's given us to do. That we might say with the Apostle Paul, I have finished the race, that day would come. Amen. If the Lord delays His coming, that we'll reach that point where we say, I know, I have finished my race. I'm ready to go. To reach that finish line, you got to run well. You can't just live a haphazard life and hope for the best. You can't live by default. No, you got to make up your mind. And today, I'm going to share with you just a couple of things from Scripture, principles that will help us to run well. To run well, you got to run with purpose. 1 Corinthians 9:24-26. And if you turn there, you might just keep a finger there because we'll come back to it again. But he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. We're supposed to run in such a way as to win the prize. Now understand, we are not in competition with other people. Oh no, that's the attitude of the world. In fact, the Scripture tells us not to compare ourselves with one another. We're not running, oh, I'm doing better than they are. Listen, you can always find somebody that's doing worse than you. And that's the way a lot of believers judge themselves. Oh, well, I'm doing better than so-and-so. I'm doing better than most. I'm doing better than somebody. But it's not a race that we're trying to beat other Christians. It is a race that we are running to fulfill the plan and purpose of God in our life. And we should be running in such a way that we plan on winning. Not just, well, you know, doesn't really matter, you know, we're under grace. It is amazing to me how people abuse the word grace. Listen, God's grace is so you can accomplish all that he has for you to do. It's not so we can just sit back and say, okay, God, you got it from here. Oh, my goodness. We need to plan on winning. There's going to be all kinds of challenges that come our way. And we need to have the mindset that we're going to overcome. That's what believers do. We overcome. We're victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not, again, it's not, don't get a worldly attitude here. We're not talking about winning the accolades of the world. You know, see, some people translate some of the scripture into worldly things where, oh, well, if I'm supposed to win, so I'm going to win the Super Bowl. Listen, if that's a part of the plan and purpose of God for you, well, you'll win the Super Bowl. But I got to tell you that there's a whole lot of that kind of stuff being claimed that isn't part of the plan and purpose of God in your life. What we need to understand is he's talking about winning in what God has given you to do. Amen. You need to win in ministry, with your family, and your finances, in your devotional life, in character and integrity. You need to win in the plan of God for your life. And you gotta be determined. You gotta be in it to win it. That's the word of God. He said, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. See, we're not just running just, well, you know, I'm in the pack. No. For us personally, we are running to win. We're doing our best. We're making every day count. In the NIV, he says, therefore, I do not run aimlessly. The New King James says, I don't run with uncertainty. We don't run aimlessly. We're not just, you know, we're just living our life, whatever. No, we're running with purpose, not aimlessly. You know, if you aim at nothing, you usually hit it, right? And we need to understand we're going after something that God wants to accomplish in our life. And when we cross the finish line, we want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, not just, well, you're done. No, we want to accomplish what he's given us to do. I'll never forget watching a relay race one day. And one of the runners that was waiting for the baton to come around, they were standing around talking, looking around. And the guy came up behind him to hand him the baton, and he wasn't ready. And they lost the race. I'm just telling you, we need to be focused. We need to be ready for what God wants to do. We can't be goofing around in this life. No, we need to be ready, whatever God has for us. Plan on winning. We're supposed to overcome. We're more than conquerors through him who loves us. And you know what? You can't just opt out of the race. Every believer is in the race. Make up your mind, you're going to win. Run with purpose. That means to run with purpose, listen, you got to stay focused. You got to be determined. And you got to avoid pitfalls. Here's the second major point. Get rid of things that keep you from running well. We read it earlier. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. We got to get rid of anything that would slow us down, anything that keeps us from reaching our full potential and living the life that God has for us. I run a little bit for exercise. I don't like it. It's boring to me. And as the years go by, it hurts more. But I always keep wondering, year after year, maybe this will be the year, if I lost this extra 20, what would it be like to run? I'm just thinking, wow. I mean, if I put on 20 pounds of weight, it's really hard to run. And I'm just thinking, wow, if I took this 20 off, what would it be like? And you know what? For a lot of us, there's an extra 20 or 40 or 100 that we're carrying in spiritual terms that's holding us back, that's weighting us down, that's keeping us from really running well. So I'm doing all right, but what if we could be doing better? What's holding us back? We need to see. He says, well, sin that so easily ensnares us. And you know what? Anytime we get caught up in sin, it is at least a detour from the plan and purpose of God. Yes, God loves us. He forgives us. There's grace where sin abounds. Grace does much more abound. But it is at least a detour. It's a hindrance to your race. It's not just, oh, well. No, it's a hindrance to our race. And for some people, it becomes a huge setback to the plan and purpose of God in their life. It's always counterproductive to the purpose of God. But I think for many believers, what's even a bigger issue is not just sins, but it's things that we might think of as harmless and things that we might even think of as good things sometimes, but they become a hindrance to us. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Now I want you to think about that part for just a minute. All things are lawful, he says. We're not under the law. All things are lawful. But he says, but not helpful. And it's amazing how Christians today, and I guess it was a thing even when this was written, that Christians want to say, oh, well, it's not really a sin. And that's the determining factor in whether they should do something or not. But Paul says, but is it helpful? You see, because so many things, though they might not be sin, it might be lawful, it might also be a hindrance to our race, a detour, a distraction from our race. He goes on, he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And you know what? There's the truth that so many times things that are not necessarily sin in and of themselves become a bondage in our life. They become a real hindrance in our life. See, it might be lawful for you to spend 3-4 hours a day watching TV, but it's not helpful. It might be lawful for you to have a beer with your dinner when you're out, but I'm going to tell you, it's not helpful. It might be lawful to do a lot of things, but we need to ask ourselves, is it helpful? Because I can assure you this, there are a lot of people that are being hindered by things. It's slowing them down. It's holding them back. It's keeping them from getting closer to God. It's keeping them from being a more effective witness. It's keeping them from being more involved in ministry, being more involved in the work of the Lord. Don't get quiet on me. People will think I'm talking about you. Sometimes we got to change some things. If we want to run well, we really want to fulfill the plan and purpose of God in our life in 2021. Sometimes we're going to have to put aside some things. You might have to change some people that you hang out with. Because I want to tell you, it's difficult to really live the life that God has for you if you're all the time hanging out with people that bring you down spiritually. Yeah, you need to reach out to sinners. Yeah, you need to invite them to church. Yes, you need to love them. But you also need to hang out with some spiritual people that will build you up and strengthen your faith and encourage you in your walk with the Lord and help you get closer to God. You need that. Find some spiritual friends. You might have to change some activities, limit some of your leisure activities. You know what? We all need rest, but when we spend a whole lot of time with fruitless activities, we just have to realize that if we're doing fruitless activities, we're not doing productive activities. And that's the thing. There's productive things that we could be doing. I'm talking about running well. Boy, come on Wednesday night, I ain't coming back to this because that pastor, he just beat me down. Listen, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. This is a better life. This is an abundant life. Listen, a regular old life with a little dab of Jesus is not an abundant life. No, it's when you're all in, it's when you're running well that you experience that abundant life. It's exciting, it's powerful, it's difficult. Jesus said it, there's an easy way. But he said the way to life is hard, it's difficult, and it's narrow. Well, that's one of those unpopular teachings of Jesus that in our day and time right now, it doesn't go with the pop theology of the day, but Jesus knows what he's talking about. That's what ends in life, is when we go his way. And yes, there are difficult times. That's why so many people, they choose to just sit out of the race because it gets difficult sometimes. If you've ever run more than about 50 feet, you know it can get difficult after a while. But what's slowing you down in your relationship with God? What's hindering your progress in whatever God has called you to do? If you're going to achieve any goals, you're going to have to be willing to set aside some things to get to those goals. There's always going to be hindrances that you have to deal with. Things that you have to put aside. And that's not always easy. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to run well. We're going back to 1 Corinthians 9 again. And this time we're going to read the verses we did already, because I want you to hear them again. Then we're going to read verse 27. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, he says that these athletes are temperate in all things. It means that they use strict self-control. They get up early, they work out, they have practices, they lift weights, whatever it takes. They change their diet, they don't drink, they do all kinds of things in order to achieve their goals. They do it because they are planning on winning. They're going to run in such a way as to obtain the prize. And he says, they do it. He says, everyone who that competes in the games goes into strict training. This is what the NIV says. They do it. They do what? Strict training to get a crown that will not last. Then he says, we do it. We do what? Strict training. Temperate in all things. Disciplined. Not undisciplined, just living a haphazard life. No, we're living with purpose. We're living by design, not default. He says, we do it for a crown that will last forever. There's a reward when you run your race to win. It can't be just a whatever attitude. See, sometimes people say they want to win in life, but you can't tell it by the way they live. Let me give you a few examples. They want a promotion at work. And they show up late, do a half-hearted job, and leave early. Well, I just don't understand why God didn't give me that promotion. I can explain it to you. They want a good marriage, but they take their spouse for granted. They treat their family dog better than they do their spouse. I can explain to you why you don't have a good marriage. Mm-hmm. I know I'm being a little harsh, but I'm just telling you, sometimes we need to wake up and realize that sometimes our choices, our daily choices, don't line up with our desires and where we would like to end up. There's a breakdown between the desire to get to the goal and the daily discipline to get to the goal. I think I'll go run in the Boston Marathon. They wouldn't even let me in the Boston Marathon. There's no way I could compete in that race. I couldn't even compete in a little bitty marathon. You know why? It's not because I'm old. There's other 61-year-olds that run in marathons. It's because I haven't trained to do that. I haven't done what it takes to be able to do that. And we need to understand that when it comes to the things of God, it's not all about just, oh, whatever, you know, praise the Lord, whatever. No, we got to be serious about it. We need to be disciplined. I am forever hearing people say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. There's a cure for that. You study it. Listen, that's the only way anybody understands it. The Holy Spirit gives us the understanding, but He doesn't just slap you upside the head and pour it in. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, that's good for the preacher, but what about me? It's good for all of us. And you know what? You don't have to know a single verse to be able to tell somebody your testimony and witness to somebody. And so I don't want anybody thinking, well, God can't use me because I haven't memorized any books of the Bible yet. I'm just telling you that neither should we have the attitude of being lazy about it. No, we need to be diligent in the things of God and whatever God has given us to do the best that we can. And I want to stress to you, we're not talking about training our body like an athlete. We're talking about getting our body under subjection to our spirit. We're talking about getting ourselves disciplined in spiritual things. I know some people might think that it sounds like works. We don't work to be saved. We work because we're saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you're saved through faith, not of works, lest anybody should boast. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which the Lord has before ordained that we should walk in them. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, created for good works. We don't work to get saved. We work because we're saved. Because God, get this, I told you at the beginning, God has a purpose for you. You see, we were created for good works that He has pre-prepared for us. Every one of us. So I want to go back 1 Corinthians 9, one more time. Verse 27, he says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He says, I discipline my body. I'm living by design, not default, so I won't be disqualified. And it's amazing how some of us are real disciplined in some areas of life, but not about spiritual things. And I think, again, sometimes somehow we've gotten the mindset that, well, that's because we're under grace. No, Paul is the one that the Holy Spirit used to reveal so much about grace to us. And yet he himself was so disciplined. And nobody other than Jesus has had a bigger impact than Paul did. He was so disciplined. I know I'm raising the bar on you, but sometimes we need to set our eyes a little higher. We need to set our goal and say, you know what? I want to go all out for God. I'm not content just to kind of sort of be, you know, a church goer and a Christian. No, I want to really live this life. I want to really be used of God. I want to really experience all that the Lord has for me. You know, God is the one who gives us the victory. But nowhere does the Bible teach us that we're to be slothful, lazy, undisciplined, or disobedient. You got to persevere. And that's the last principle. Keep going. We read it in Hebrews chapter 12 that we have to lay aside those other things. But then in we'll finish verse 1. He says, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The NIV uses the word perseverance there. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, we look to Jesus. This is what Jesus did. He endured. He endured more than you or I will ever, because there was a joy set before him. We need to understand there's a joy set before us. And however hard it gets, we endure. There's one day he will say, it doesn't just go, well done, good and faithful servant. That's not the end of it. He says, enter into the joy of your Lord. I'm telling you. But it's not all in the sweet by and by. No, there is a great joy when you are running well, when you are doing what God wants you to do. I'm telling you, there's great joy there. You just got to keep going. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And we need to remember where our strength comes from, because we all get tired. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. See, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, because that's where our strength comes from. You just got to decide that quitting's not an option. So many sitting on the sidelines, they need to get back in the race. Now, if you're in it, let me give you this verse tonight, Hebrews 10:36. You have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You see, we just do the will of God. We fulfill the plan, the purpose of God in our life. We're going to receive. That victory's going to come. We're going to win. So many start big, but then they give up. Give up too soon. Anytime you give up, it's too soon. Just keep going. You endure. You persevere. So many don't stick with their service, their work for the Lord. They don't keep their commitments to God. They don't stay with the principles of Scripture that they once professed to believe. And some end up walking away from the faith altogether. The world says it's about talent and timing and money and PR and intelligence, but in the kingdom, you know what matters? Character. Perseverance. It's about character. Not a very popular virtue today. The theme of the day is, if it's hard, find an easier way. And if you can't, quit. Do something different. But in the kingdom, that's not an option. When it gets hard, we endure. We persevere. Talked about running. Do you know if you start running and you end up back at the same place that you began, you're going to have an equal amount of downhill and uphill. And I don't know about you, but I like the downhill. I fly. And sometimes I walk up the hill. But here's the point. There's going to be some uphill. It doesn't matter what you do. There's going to be some uphill. There's going to be uphill in parenting. There's going to be uphill working in the children's ministry. There's going to be uphill if you're a prayer partner. I mean, whatever you do, there's going to be some uphill, some things you don't like about it. But you persevere, you endure. James 1:12 in the NIV says this, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And again, I believe that in eternity there's going to be crowns, but I don't think that all of this is necessarily talking about in the sweet by and by. A crown of life. Abundant life. Why? Because you endured, you persevered through the trial, through the test. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Blessed is the man. That's what the scripture says. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Emmett Smith carried the football more yards than anybody else in history. Still holds that record. How'd he do it? 4.3 yards at a time. They kept knocking him down. Over and over and over, they knocked him down. He just kept getting up and doing it again. 4.3 yards at a time. Keep going. Persevere. You'll get hit. You'll get knocked down. Get up. Keep going. There's eternal souls at stake. That's better than a Super Bowl ring. Souls. And when you get to have a part in that, and we all do, who serve and work for the Lord, we all have a part in that. You know, those that talk to somebody about the Lord and nothing happened, they think, oh, I didn't do anything. And the one that finally leads them to the Lord thinks they did everything. Both are wrong. If you work for the Lord, if you serve the Lord in any way, you have a part in those souls that are being saved. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Take heed to yourselves and to your doctrine. Continue," NIV says, "persevere in them, for in doing this you'll save both yourself and those who hear you." You see, it's important that you persevere, because you're not only going to save yourself, but those who hear you. Keep going. Keep going. In Hebrews 12:1, we read about the great cloud of witnesses. You realize that in this world, there are people that are watching you. Yes, they are. Persevere. Keep going. Running well. It means that when obstacles and challenges come, you just keep going. You can have all of the talent and opportunity. You can have all the advantages. You can have a great start and still blow it. and not reach your goal. You can still give up, even though you had everything going for you. And the opposite is true. You might look like a disaster. You might not have anything going for you. Jesus said, the last shall be first. And I'm just telling you that even if you've had a terrible start, nobody really cares. When the race is over, nobody really cares who had a great start. The only thing that matters is how you finish. And no matter how bad of a start you had, no matter how many times you've messed up, by the grace of God, you can finish well. Run well. Run well. He deserves that. Stand with me. We're going to pray and I'll let you go.